All right, turn back to Acts chapter 17. And, yeah, let's keep Jay Brumbaugh in prayer. Also, something I learned was a boy who came to Countryside one time, is in the hospital tonight. And I'm not supposed to mention his name, but he needs our prayers. His mother came with him. His grandparents attend all the time. So if you could just pray for that boy, God knows who he is. And I'm not sure what is happening with him. But I really think God's moving in that family, and maybe this will bring them even closer to the Lord. So, good. All right, yeah, Dave DiPietro has been here before. He's been in our pulpit. He's a born-again Christian. He lives in East Aurora, and he is our assemblyman. Wonderful born-again Christian, and look forward to seeing him Saturday. So, okay, Acts 17, we're talking about marketplace evangelism, which for us is the Erie County Fair, or the Dunkirk Fair and the Cattaraugus Fair. We used to go to the Erie County Fair, but that was a long one. That was 13 days, a marathon, 12 hours a day. And then they stuck us in the one building, and it just, things didn't work out. But anyway, we're still in two fairs. We've been in two fairs witnessing for the Lord. Boy, I have no idea how many years, 30? More, maybe, I'm not sure, but going way back to the days when Roger Olson got us in the fair. But it says in Acts 17:17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, okay, that's kind of the religious meeting area, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily, that's out in the world, with them that met with him. This is the Apostle Paul in Athens, Greece, amongst a bunch of heathens. And but there was a synagogue there, and so he went to synagogue. That'd be like going to church today, but then he also went to the market daily with them that met with him. So he went where all the people were. And I figured this out, Brother John Gardner, when he started a ministry called Amazing Grace Missions. I don't know how I forgot this. He started it in 1983, the same year we started our church. So this is the 40th anniversary of what he called at first marketplace evangelism based on this verse, and later became known as Amazing Grace Missions. And basically, it's just going to the fairs, farm shows. They find an excuse to go to anything. What was that thing you went to? Was it this year or last year? It was in Sinclairville. It was Community Days or something. But they just use that as an excuse to set up a table. I know Pastor Barron, we have a little table over here in a tent at the Eden Corn Festival for 3 days, where we just have literature and pens and stuff. And he's thinking about sitting over there. In Sinclairville. So you just asked him if you could sit there and... Yeah, okay. And they let him in, and I think some people got saved too. So that's what they do. So I started last week talking about our ministry at the Dunkirk Fair and the Cattaraugus Fair and trying to start early. And Pastor might, in fact, you might want to sit out there with him, but he might just go out there and study his Bible out there those 3 days of the Eden Corn Festival and buy our literature. And then if anybody walks in, he can just say, I'm the new pastor, and meet him and see what happens, you know. That's all there is to it, just kind of making yourself available. For God to use you and talk to people. And so we call it marketplace evangelism. This is our second lesson. I think this will be the last one. But so we have been doing this so long, I have no idea when we started. I just never kept records of these things. But it's a riot. It's a lot of fun. And we're trying to introduce it to you, and I want to show you some props here later. But notice what the response was. As I mentioned last week, it was a mixed response. A mixed response. Look at verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I mean, what a joke. Nobody has ever risen from the dead. And so you can see these Greeks you know, who seek wisdom, right? They just decide things according to what they can see and understand. Nobody's ever risen from the dead. So some mock, what a joke. But he was preaching the resurrection. We need to preach the resurrection no matter who we're talking to. We need to preach the resurrection of Christ. I believe the resurrection of Christ answers all objections. I really do. You got to start with that, not end up with it. And others said, we will hear thee again on this manner. So Paul departed from among them, verse 33, verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So there was some fruit. A mixed response. Go back to 2 Chronicles. This is an Old Testament soul-winning story. We got soul-winning stories in the Old Testament too. Now this is in regard to the Passover. Hezekiah is the new king. His dad, Ahaz, was about the worst ever. And for a couple reigns, the kings were horrible. Hezekiah just decided he was going to be different. He reopened the house of God and reinstituted the temple worship. And then he said, you know, everybody should come to Passover. Everybody should come to Passover. Now, they missed the first one in the first month, so he's trying to gather them all together for the second one, which is in the second month. God made that available to the Jews that if they missed the first one, the first month of the year, they could have a second Passover, a second month of the year. And so Hezekiah sends all these posts out. And he sends them with letters. Can you imagine how much work that was? We have gospel tracts. We pass out, but we got fancy printing presses that print them out. But can you imagine how important this was to Hezekiah to have all these letters written from the king, basically begging people to come? For instance, in verse 8, he says, now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. So even as the king of Judah, he sends these letters to the tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom. He says, this is so important. I know we're a divided nation right now. I know we're a divided kingdom. And I'm down south here by Jerusalem. But I want to invite everybody to come to Passover. We know what Passover means to us, right? In 1 Corinthians 5:7, in the New Testament, says Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So this is like a picture in the Old Testament of him trying to get people to come to Christ and come to Jerusalem. Well, what was their response? Verse 10, so the posts passed from city to city, through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, way up north by Galilee. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. That sounds like what just happened to Paul at Athens. Some mocked. So, yeah, someone's going to laugh at us out at the fair, so what? And they usually just walk on and laugh and do whatever. Nevertheless, verse 11, diverse, I mean, some of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. That's a long trip. And in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people. Isn't that great? To keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. A very great congregation. So there were people everywhere who wanted to celebrate Passover and made great, great effort to leave their homes in Zebulun, Manasseh, Ephraim, way up north, to come way down south for Passover. And we know what that represents. Okay, the Passover lamb represents Christ. So it's kind of an Old Testament type of soul winning, but again, I want you to notice the mixed response. Some mocked, all right? but others humbled themselves and came. And so, you know, that's taught us in the parable of the sower. Some's going to fall by the wayside. Satan's going to take it before it even gets to their hearts. Nothing's going to happen. And others are going to have mixed responses, emotional responses, but then there's going to be some that falls on good ground. And the Lord taught us this so we would not be discouraged if we're rejected or if we go out for a 2.5-hour shift and nothing happens. Sometimes that happens out there. Sometimes it's dead. There's no explaining it. Those that have been in the fair ministry a lot more than I can tell you, there's no explaining it. One day 29 people will get saved, the next day 10. And one day or one shift, nobody comes in. The next shift, 15 people come in. And there's no special day that's better than any other. But we need to be faithful. And if we're just out there passing out the Word of God, that's better than doing nothing. And so we want to encourage you to think about joining us this year. Pastor Barron said something this week I had never heard before. He said that when we used to be in Hamburg, he went out there as a 14-year-old boy. And in front of the booth, he had a gospel tract. He read it to a man, and the man wanted to do that. And he accepted the Lord as his Savior, and that's how he got started soul winning. You know, so that's 24 years ago. And very much like my life, probably when I was 14, I started going to the Erie County Fair with a different group, but we use some different methods, but you can use any method you want. I mean, that's to attract people. Some of you know how to make balloon animals. Boy, that attracts kids like magnets and their parents. And if you know how to do that, go out and do that. While others are there to win souls to Christ, whatever. They gave out Freezy Pops at Cattaraugus. We got the picture up? Oh, here's Cattaraugus, all right. That's what the Cattaraugus Fair looks like. It's a better picture than what we had last week about our Dunkirk Fair, but I didn't know I was going to be putting them up. So, Cattaraugus is down in Little Valley. It's a small fair, and the dates are later than the Dunkirk Fair, but they're in the 4-H building. And at this booth last year, they had about 100 people saved. And behind the red backdrop are tables. There's a table behind there that people can go around, sit down, and hear the gospel without distraction and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. To the right, there's some double doors that people come in and go right by the place when they have to use the bathroom. When it rains, people just come into this building, just mob the place to get out of the rain. So pray for rain. And this is what a display looks like. And there, way over to the right, on the right table, you'll see the candy box. I'll show you that in a minute. There's one over here, a box with a mirror in it, and it says on the front of the box, see why Jesus died. And they look in the box and they see themselves in the mirror. I don't see the three doors. They didn't use the three doors over there, but there's a banner for Brightway Baptist Church and another banner in the back for Brightway Baptist Church. And then up on the top, there's a question. And sometimes we just say, hey, we're asking people a question this week. Here's the question. Are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure you're going to go to heaven someday? Is that something you're sure of, or it's something maybe you have some doubts about, maybe some questions? People give you an answer. They'll be honest. Yeah, 75%. And then we can say to them, would you like to know absolutely 100% for sure how you can know that you're going to heaven someday? The Bible can give us that assurance. And some people say, yeah, I'd like to know that and stay. Others say, well, you know, I got things here, I'm busy, whatever. But you can give them a gospel tract and say, look, I know you can't stay, but if you really read through that over and over and over again, you'll understand there's enough information in that piece of paper to answer that question for you. And so you can trust in Christ as your Savior. And so I don't know what the hours are there. Tony, Louise, do you know when you start in the morning, when you end? about 10 to 10. So they're 12 hours. And 6 days, I'm going to guess, probably 6 days long. Sunday to Saturday. That's right, Sunday to Saturday, 6 days. And when we get to that time, if you want to go down to Cattaraugus, they probably could use some more workers. Last year, they gave out Freezy Pops. Is that correct? You had a freezer. And they were giving out Freezy Pops for free. I remember one year it was water. I think one year it was ice cream sandwiches. I'm not sure, but some of the vendors didn't like us giving out ice cream. But the main thing we're saying is that you try to use different things to attract people and use different methods to get people's interest. Now, I want to show you one verse that's helped me, and then I'll get to some props here. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 39. Now, regarding the Pharaoh ministries, if you'll talk to Tyler, Warden, or Pastor Seth, they are about the most experienced church attenders, members. Well, Tyler's not a member of our church, but he goes to New Beginnings down in Kennedy. He's a member there. Amen. And by the way, they have a parade. Monday, is it? Yeah, Monday. So they're passing out tracts. If anyone wants to go down and help, they're in Kennedy, right there in the big main street of Kennedy, the huge metropolis of Kennedy. I'm serious. Monday, if anyone wants to go down, they need people passing out tracts along the parade route. That's easy to do, too. But anyways... But Tyler comes here a lot. Used to be a member here before he moved to Casadega. And he is with Amazing Grace Missions. Now, Amazing Grace Missions is mostly made up of people who have retired. And they're using their retirement years to go to fairs, depending on their schedule. One fair a year, two, three, four, ten, whatever. We sent you, we helped send you and Larry down to Alabama. Arkansas, a state fair. And they were about the only ones that showed up. The only two. Nobody from Arkansas helped. 67. He led 67 people to the Lord. Larry's a brother from Sinclairville. Comes to our men's breakfast. And what if those two hadn't gone? What if they hadn't had a display there at the Arkansas State Fair? And so we helped finance that, but they went, and that's what senior citizen. So if you're a retired senior citizen and you're looking for something to do for the Lord, learn how to be a soul winner. It's not hard. These men can teach you. And pick out a fair or two or three, or our church will get behind you. I know we will. I'm sure Pastor Barron would probably encourage you to do that. What happens to all these people that get saved? Well, there's a verse that helps me, and it's Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. It says this, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." Here's a guy that gets saved. It's one of the great soul-winning stories of the New Testament. It starts back in verse 26, and you can read it, how Philip goes and meets this Ethiopian eunuch riding a chariot through a desert, and the guy's reading a scroll, the book of Isaiah, doesn't understand what he's reading. Philip comes running up to the chariot and says, "You understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I accept some man? Show me." There's some truth in that. And so Philip got in the chariot with him and preached unto him Jesus. And as they're going along, he sees some water, some deep water. And he said, "Hey, there's some water. How come I can't be baptized there?" He says, "You can if you believe." All right, if you believe, you can be baptized. And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ." And then they both go down into the water in verse 38, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptizes them. But I want you to notice the phrase in verse 39, "saw him no more." Sometimes you lead people to Christ that you'll never see again, according to the scriptures. Okay, but he went on his way rejoicing, the guy. The Ethiopian, He went off to Ethiopia. Philip next went to preach and came to Caesarea. It says in verse 40, he went a different direction completely. So don't worry about that. Let's just go out there and try to lead people to the Lord. And they're from all over the place. And if they really trust Christ as their Savior, God goes with them. The Lord knows them that are His. And He can help them in their lives. And anyway, the Dunkirk Fair is July 25th, Tuesday, through Sunday, July 30th. We're there from about noon till 10, not as long as the Cattaraugus Fair. Tyler's there every day. Pastor Seth's there a lot, most every day. Others, we will have sign-up sheets out by next Wednesday, so you can look at your schedule and maybe plug yourself in for a 2.5-hour effort where you just go out and try to give your best. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, do your best. And there's a whole lot we'll try to teach you before you go out there. So we'll have sign-ups by next week. Children can go. Your children, your teenagers can go. As my experience, Pastor Barron's experience, as teens going to the fairs. 20-year-olds, boy, it'd be good to see 20-year-old young men, young ladies out there, especially in this world nowadays. Because mostly the people walking by are teens and 20s. All week long, and to see some young men, young ladies just excited about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation, trying to talk to their generation, which is so lost, so lost. And I just got this feeling this year that people are going to be searching more. I don't know why. The world, their country's falling apart. Their world's falling apart. And there's problems, there's confusion. People are looking for answer. People are looking for peace. We've got the answer in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Married couples can go out. Take your whole family. Take your family. I remember a little boy, and I was working with him once, and he'd go up to people. Little boy, he's out in the just out in the front of the tent. Now, our tent's about 20 feet wide, maybe a little wider, but we got 2 8-foot tables. There's about a 2-foot path over there, 2-foot path over there. People can come in. And we got all kinds of displays and props. I'll show you in just a minute. And this little boy's over there, and he's giving out little smileys. And I can remember this. He's giving these out to people. And he says, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" And, you know, guy's looking. "Yeah, what is it?" He says, "Are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure you're going to heaven someday?" The guy would say, "What? Are you 50%, 75%, or 100% sure you're going to heaven someday?" And the guy, you can just see his, and this, he's doing this all day long, this boy. And people would come in, and his dad would share the gospel with him. And that boy, Andrew Sheedle, is a pastor now and a church planter in Pennsylvania. And his dad, Gary Sheedle, was an Amazing Grace missionary we used to support. And I always thought about that and how he married a dear, precious wife, and he's out there in Pennsylvania planting a church now. And I can remember him as a little boy doing that, talking to people. See, yes, children can go out, teens can go out, 20, whatever, 40, we don't care, single, whatever. Senior citizens, you can go out there, you know. People have respect for senior citizens still. And it'd be good if they got that experience. Don't keep them away from it. Introduce that to them early. They might really just catch a fire. Sometimes people do that. They just catch a fire that never goes out for souls. So I'll get some props out here, and I'll come down front. And like I said, there's other people here who know this stuff a lot better than I do. This is our candy basket. And we'll just set up a pretend table here. This is one we've only been using for a few years now, I think 4 or 5 years, and it's pretty neat. I like doing this when I'm out there, is you got this candy basket, and it's full of candy. This is almost empty. And what I like to do is find some kids, and I go like this, and the kids are walking this way, and I'm going like this. And they are looking. They are looking. And then as soon as they start nudging their parents, then I look away. And then they start coming over. Whoops. And we'll say hi to them. Hey, how you doing? Have some candy. Candy's free. Hey, you know what else is free? Here's something that's free today. And I'll take this with you, too. It's some food for your soul. And take that home and read it. It'll really help you. We're going to use these, too, this year, our first time ever. I like these. It says on the front, personal Bible, verses of comfort, assurance, salvation. Boy, people are going to see that nowadays, and they don't know what's going on. I mean, there's educated people don't know what's going on. Didn't expect this. And we're going to use these, too. Hey, here's something here that's some good food for your soul, too. But notice this right here. It says, free piece of candy. Do you know what else is free? It says right here in the Bible, the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. And then you can try to flow into the gospel. Some people say, well, we got to get going. But you can say, hey, the gift of God is eternal life too. You know, I didn't know that. I just try to flow right into the gospel. I didn't know that growing up as a boy. I thought you had to work for eternal life. I thought you had to go to church all your life and get baptized and take communion. And I get this whole spiel I go through. You know, learn all the seven sacraments and give money and say prayers. And then maybe, if I did enough, maybe God would let me into heaven someday. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I didn't know that until I was about 12 years old. And somebody, and I just keep talking until they walk away or whatever. And sometimes you can say, would you like to come back and just have a seat for a few minutes? There's nothing to join. I'd just like to share with you for a few minutes what somebody shared with me. It's the greatest thing I've ever learned in all my life. Now, if you can't do that, at least you can go like this with the candy, you know. You just pick out some kids way down there, because we're on the main entrance. Our tent's there. There's businesses to the right of us. There's businesses to the left. They're all hawking something. They're all passing out something, trying to sell something. But you go like this with the kids, and then as they're going by, you just keep going and you keep looking at them. And then as soon as they get their parents' attention, I just turn aside. Oh, and then they come in. So, and I've had fun with this here. Now these here we're going to get this year. We gave out 3,000 of these at the Eden Corn Festival parade last year. They're really good. They're just all scripture, but it's all uniform and orderly scripture that leads up to the gospel. And then on page 26. Says, my prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe Christ died for me, and that his precious blood will cleanse me from all my sin. By faith, I now receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, trusting him for the salvation of my soul. Help me, Lord, to do thy will each day. In Jesus' name, amen. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. If somebody sincerely believes and calls on the Lord to trust him, this also has a prayer of salvation and the little smiley. So that's one prop we use that is right there. Okay? But we got to keep it filled. So that the church has to buy boxes and boxes of... Okay, this thing looks pretty ratty. We got to fix this up and repaint it. Maybe some of you are good. This thing is so old. We've used it for so long. And this sits in the middle of one of our tables out front. It says, see, three things God cannot do. And that kind of rattles some people. See, three things God can't do. And they're like, wait a minute. Because they thought all their life, God can do anything. So they come over and you can either... let them open the door, but it's better to open the doors yourself because they're a little bit hesitant. You say, yeah, here, let me show you. Number one, God cannot lie. And then there's the verse down here from the Bible, God that cannot lie. Now, there's also on the back the verses here. So if you forget what it says, you can read it. It says, number one, God cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2 in the Bible says, God cannot lie. Number two, God cannot change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Does that make sense? God can't lie. God cannot change. And then number three, God cannot let anyone into heaven except they are born again. That's what Jesus said. Notice that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Doesn't say he can't go into heaven. He can't even see it. Except a man be born again. And we need to have a spiritual birth. Just like you had a physical birthday one day. You need to have a spiritual birthday one day when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can try to flow into the gospel through that. So they've been using this for 40 years. It's kind of old to some of them, but every year new people come by, new children are growing up, and they need to see that. So let me see here. Maybe a couple more things. Let's see. Brother, who can I use? Brother Jeff, could you help me here? And Brother John, could you help? Let's just open this one up. And these things are huge. Yeah, just unravel that thing somehow and hold it up for everybody. As I said in the showed in the picture last year of our tent, we're going to make the tent look a lot nicer this year. We got carpet we lay out on the grass and tables in the back, two tables in the front. And then we have these huge posters all around. We might not use all of them this year, but this one here is usually to the right. Like this way here. Maybe you can go up that way, John, and that way, Brother Jeff. So if the table was here, this would be over here, and you could point to it and say, see this gift right here? It says eternal life. And the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. It's not something you have to work for or earn. It's not a reward. It's a gift. And you can have it, but it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some people think it's through the church they go to or through the creed that they've memorized or through the good works that they've done all their life. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the only way. And then you try to flow into there through the gospel. So thank you, men. Oh, yeah, it's a gift to receive, not a reward to earn, says right on the bottom. Okay, yeah, you can roll that up. And we got another one. I didn't bring it with me, but we got another one for Yankees fans. You'd be surprised how many Yankees fans there are at the fair. You see them with hats on. I remember one lady, she's pushing a baby down the main entranceway, and she's got a big New York Yankees shirt on. And I said, hey, are you a New York Yankees fan? She says, yes, I am. Well, we've got this gospel track about Mickey Mantle's conversion in the last couple years of his life after living a wicked life. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior through the witness of Bobby Richardson, who he played with. Bobby was a Christian. And Bobby did, I want to say Joe DiMaggio's funeral. And Mickey Mantle was so impressed by it, he said, when I die, I want you to do my funeral. And that opened up the door for Bobby to share the gospel with Mickey Mantle. So Mickey Mantle gets saved a couple years before he dies. He contracted cancer, and that got his attention. And he very honestly said, please don't follow me as an example. I was a lousy human being, blah, blah, blah. But he got saved. And he said, my favorite verse. And he says, and make sure you share this in my funeral. John 3:16. For God so loved the world and so on. And so I look for people with New York Yankees hats. They're all over the place. Yankees jackets and everything. Hey, you a New York Yankees fan? You got to check this out. This is one of the greatest Yankees that ever played the game, Mickey Mantle. You got to read this. You got to read this sometime and see how things ended for him in his life. And they're like, oh, okay. And they take it. And they put it in their pocket, and they go home, and maybe God works on their hearts. Who knows? There's a good prayer in there for them to trust Christ. Here's a presentation, three things the good Lord wants you to know about himself. Number one, God is holy. Number two, God is just. Number three, God is love. We can have these enlarged. You can read these like Tyler reads a tract. And you go through the three attributes. I like to say to people, I say, you know, I'm not bragging or anything, but I like to say to them, you know, I read through the Bible many, many times. And in fact, I've read through the Bible about 50 times, and I know people that have read through the Bible more than me. But there are three attributes about God I notice the most in the Bible. And number one, God is holy. That means he's perfect in righteousness. He's separate from sin. He cannot even allow sin in his presence forever. And our sins, the Bible says, have separated us from God. And I'll just flow into the gospel. We're sinners. God is holy. We're on earth. God's in heaven. We're separated. That's a problem. God is just. That means he's a just judge. He believes in justice, just like the judge in your town has to condemn the guilty. He might be a great loving guy, friendly guy, but as a judge, he has to condemn the guilty. And God loves us too. And God's friendly, God's approachable, but God is a judge. And if God let guilty people go free, he wouldn't be just. And I'll just try to wait till they can absorb that and understand it and then go to the last one. God is love. And I'll explain that God's love is active. It's kind of like a mother or father, if they saw their little toddler running out in the street, they would spring into action to do something to save that little child. And God sprang into action, did something to save our souls. He sent his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to die in our place on the cross so we could be saved. Jesus paid our death penalty. He took our place on death row and died for us. And you go into the gospel and say, isn't that wonderful? Now all that means nothing. I'll tell them, all that means nothing unless you receive it personally for yourself. Would you like to do that? We could pray right now. Or I don't even like to use that word pray because right there. But I'll meet with those of you that sign up one more time before we go out. And I'll go through things because we have three pages of rules because we've had some people that have almost got us thrown out of there. Yikes. If you're combative, contentious type of a person, we love you, but maybe you can do something else for the Lord. We don't want to get thrown out, really. I mean, I had to get a lawyer. I had to get a lawyer once from Ohio to come up to the fair, right in the middle of the fair week because of something one of our workers did. And the lawyer taught, we went to the guy that actually runs the fair, the head honcho, and said, look. So we worked things out. But so you got to know these rules. You don't bring children in. You don't take teenagers' names and addresses down. And how you dress and what tracks you use. And we are not there to tackle issues. There's big issues today, environmentalism, transgenderism, LGBTQ. We're not there to discuss that stuff. And we go in under Amazing Grace missions. We don't tell them even what church we're from. We're from different churches. We just say we're concerned Christians from different churches that have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us, and we're here to share that with you. And we're not here to argue with you about politics or issues or you know, that, but just to talk to you about the Lord. And that's it. And you actually sign a sheet. I actually got out of a situation one time, just one time. I got out of a situation where a guy wanted to argue with me and a guy wanted to argue with me. He just wouldn't let up. And I said, sir, I had to sign my signature on a sheet that said I would not argue with people about issues. He said this, where is that? You show me. I went back and got the sheet. He said, right here. He said, oh, okay. And he left. He left. It actually got me out of the... Because we're not there. I mean, there's a time and place for that. But, okay, so in closing, you know, think about it. Just take a deep breath. by God's grace, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out there. There's almost always somebody there who's been there before. And if you just want to observe, even if somebody comes back and you just want to sit at the table and listen to how they do it, you can do that too. That'd be better than doing nothing. And eventually, people who just go out to observe, eventually they get out there and they start giving out a few smileys or something. And I like this. And sometimes they want to come back and say, "Where is there another slot I can sign up for?" And it's pretty nice. So, all right. So, especially if you got questions, see Brother Tyler Warden or see Pastor Seth. They have done it probably more than anybody I know. Louise gets out there a lot. Tony, I don't know, but you get to go out. You're working a lot of time, but you get out there. So if it's something new, I mean, just please, just this may open up a... I remember a lady who was 63 years old giving a testimony one time about leading 250 people to Christ in Chicago. And she said she'd been saved all of her life. And she just kept putting it off and putting it off and says, "Not for me, it's not 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 for me." And she finally just could not resist the Holy Ghost anymore. And she started walking up and down the streets of Chicago and talking to people about Christ. And God used her. And you couldn't shut her off after that. You couldn't shut her off. And what might God do with you? So what did you say, Debbie? Brother Kyle, can you come on up? "I've got a mansion." Is that what you said?
Yeah, 685.
685? Yeah, you're right. Let's sing a verse or two, and then we'll go home. It's been a long week, but thank you for coming out tonight. This week has been fantastic. What a blessing. And that's one of the things Brother Harding... Brother Harding said in every message, he said, soul winning is part of the answer to saving America. If God sees us trying to win people to Christ, send missionaries, pray, read the Bible, build churches, he might extend his mercy on our land. So he mentioned soul winning a bunch of times.